Thank you, choir. We appreciate the leadership of Dr. Bell from Sunday to Sunday and the contributions of our choir, and especially that beautiful rendition of O Holy Night this morning. During this Advent season, we've been taking a look at a few Advent and Christmas songs and all the things they have to say to us if we'll listen. And we began by looking at O Come Emmanuel a couple of weeks ago, and then last week we explored A Little Town of Bethlehem, and today we turn our attention to the song you just heard and that we often hear around Christmas Eve as well, O Holy Night. Several hymns have interesting backstories and histories, but the story of this carol is especially fascinating. In 1847, a parish priest asked French poet and wine merchant Placide Capot to write a Christmas poem to celebrate the renovation of the church organ in their village. Capot wasn't much of a churchgoer and would eventually leave the church entirely. He wrote the poem on a stagecoach ride to Paris and entitled it Midnight Christians. Adolphe Adam, a French ballet composer, took the words and composed a tune for them, the tune we know today as O Holy Night. Adam was also a Jewish person, and while he held a great reverence for Jesus, he didn't personally believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And the song was first performed in a mass later that year. It was a song written by this man who eventually left the church and a man who didn't believe that Jesus, this song refers to and celebrates, was the Messiah, and it became an instant hit within the church. Its use spread, and soon it was being sung in Christmas services everywhere in France. However, when church leaders learned more about the views of the composers, well, they freaked out. They banned it from use in services, saying that this hymn, O Holy Night, lacked musical taste and citing its total absence of the spirit of religion. Yes, that's right, this song that sings of the night of our dear Savior's birth. Even still, the song had found a place in the hearts of church members, and they would often sing it on their own. In 1855, across the sea in America, Unitarian minister John Sullivan Dwight was captivated by the song upon hearing it. Reverend Dwight adopted an English version of the hymn with a few changes in the lyrics. He loved the song not just because of the story it told, but because he was an abolitionist and was especially struck by the lyrics, "Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease." The Reverend wanted people to hear this song, which spoke of chains being broken and slaves who are our brothers and sisters. The song would become very popular, especially in the North in the Civil War. And there's an unconfirmed legend surrounding the song as well. Remember how the French people continued to sing the song even though the church leaders had banned it from use in services? Well, the story says that on Christmas Eve, 1871, in the midst of the Franco-Prussian War, the French and German forces were engaged in battle. And the story tells that a French soldier leaped unarmed from his trench and began to sing, O Holy Night. The gunfire slowed, and as he reached the end, a German soldier climbed unarmed out of his trench and began to sing Martin Luther's German Christmas hymn, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. The fighting ceased, and the soldiers held to a ceasefire for Christmas Day. The power of music brought peace and hope, even in the midst of a brutal battlefield. Now, there's debate over whether the events of this story actually happened, but like most good stories, it doesn't have to have actually happened as told in order for it to hold power nonetheless. But the story of this hymn doesn't end there either. There's another part of the story, and this one has been historically confirmed. In 1906, radio waves were used to communicate, using Morse code to send messages to ships and to transmit news to newspapers. In that year, Reginald Fessenden, a university professor, had been hard at work on a project. And on Christmas Eve, 1906, he used a new type of generator, spoke into a microphone, and for the first time in history, a person's voice was broadcast out over the airwaves. He had begun the broadcast by playing a phonograph recording of a piece by Handel, but then came his historic words going out over the airwaves. Shocked radio operators on ships and in other cities who were used to simply hearing Morse code would hear these spoken words. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Mr. Fessenden read the account of the birth of Christ from the second chapter of Luke's gospel, and after he finished his reading, he picked up his violin and began to play O Holy Night. When he came to the final verse, he sang those familiar words. This song about Christ coming in the midst of this world in flesh and blood form would be the very first song performed and sung by a flesh and blood person to be transmitted over the radio waves. This was a new way of communicating through what was already present, using the radio waves already being broadcast through the air. And yet, this communication wasn't simply the familiar clicks of Morse code. It was a human voice, a song played by human hands, and it would forever change the use of radio. Flesh and blood and human sound, embodied humanity, invades the airwaves. And nothing will ever be the same again. Maybe there's a lesson for us today, even in this part of the story of this familiar hymn. The words of O Holy Night give us the picture. It's the night of our dear Savior's birth. This world has been pining, a word we don't use much today, but that conveys a desperate and restless longing. It's a longing you feel deep in your bones. Deep in your soul. This world, in the midst of our sin and our error, longs for restoration, for things to be made right, for peace, for purpose and meaning. And then he appears, and the soul felt its worth. We turn to so many temporary and unsatisfying things to find some sense of worth. And yet, as this song reminds us, our worth is rooted in the fact that we are each and all loved children of God. We are loved so much that God will pursue us even as far as the manger. The Son of God will come and live among us, flesh and blood becoming one of us. God's love and our worth from it isn't just some abstract concept. God's love is embodied, literally, in the form of a fragile baby laid in a feeding trough. God's love is shown in coming to very ordinary parents in Mary and Joseph, to news shared with ordinary shepherds on the outskirts of town. God's love comes in a way that says every person matters. Even the ordinary and overlooked. You and me and every person on this planet, all loved, all of great worth. And then, in this familiar song, such a powerful phrase, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. The weary world rejoices. The world into which Jesus comes is weary. The Romans rule over all with an oppressive presence. The people have been wondering for generations when this promised Messiah would come to deliver them. People have to work hard just to get by. We see glimpses of this weariness even in the words of Mary's song that was read earlier by Linda from the Gospel of Luke. Mary talks about this one who will come through her and what God will do through him. And this one will have mercy and will lift up the lowly, and the hungry will be filled with good things. Those weary and worn out will find restoration. This is no quaint Christmas carol Mary is singing. It's a song of things being turned upside down. Mary's song may also sound a little odd because she talks in the present tense about things that are still to come, but this reflects how confident Mary is that these things will happen, the hope she has that allows her to see beyond the distinctions of the present and the future and to see instead what God is at work doing. This is a weary world in which Mary lives. There are racial, political, ethnic, and class tensions, brutal violence, poverty, and struggle. Our world knows quite a bit about this kind of loneliness too, doesn't it? We're weary of the violence we inflict on one another with weapons and fists and words and apathy. We're weary of our struggle to view one another as valuable siblings of God despite our differences. We're weary when justice seems hard to find at times. We're weary from the ways of living that exploit people on this planet. We're weary at the pain and the hurt and the struggle that life brings. We're weary from how hard it can be sometimes to simply get by in life. Maybe we're even weary of waiting and asking, how long till things are made right? It's into this weary world of Mary's that Jesus comes with its beauty and brutality, its faithful love, and its worn out longing. And in Jesus' coming, this new and glorious morning is breaking and beginning. Something new is here. Jesus comes and says, make no mistake, this world, even in all its weariness, it matters. Life here matters. Every person here matters. You are not alone. God has not forgotten you. In fact, God has now come among you, here and now, in the midst of this world, in vulnerable flesh and blood, in vulnerable love. God is at work mending and restoring and healing. And it's in this weary world that we can find a thrill of hope, both in Mary's day and in ours today. Earlier, we talked of how that broadcast of O Holy Night on those radio waves would forever change how radio would be used. A new day had dawned in the world of radio. And oh, the irony, because words spoken and sung with human vocal cords, hands that could hold and play a violin, would share this song that proclaims that Jesus has come into this weary world. Humanity invades radio waves to declare that the Son of God has taken on humanity and come among us. A new day has dawned with the birth of the Son of God. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Jesus has come among us, and things will never be the same. So how do we respond to such a gift? We respond with acts of worship, by bowing down and low in humility. But our response goes beyond that too. How should we live and what kind of people should we be now that He has appeared and all of our souls have felt their worth? Verse 3 of this familiar carol offers us some possibilities. Truly, He taught us to love one another. His law is love and His gospel is peace. We respond by loving one another, by living and proclaiming the good news of love and peace that Jesus brought. This isn't some abstract love, some love that's fluffy words with no real substance. Jesus comes and puts on flesh and blood on this love. Jesus comes to show us a better way, not just in words, but lived out in arms that embrace, in hands that heal and work, in feet that seek out those overlooked and ignored, in a voice that challenges the people and the systems that take advantage of others. Love comes in flesh and blood that's shown in tears shed, in laughter shared, in pain endured. Love appears so that every soul can feel its worth. He taught us to love one another. So we work for justice for all people and overcome oppression wherever people are abused or taken advantage of or devalued. We do this because the one who has come breaks chains, because the slaves, those oppressed and forgotten and overlooked, they are our brothers and sisters and siblings. The chains that bind our addiction and poverty and racism and hopelessness and fear, materialism, greed, loneliness, apathy, the things that value people only for what they can produce. The list goes on and on. They bind our family and friends. They bind people we don't know, but they are all our fellow children of God. And the chains that need breaking don't just bind others, they bind us too. We too need to be delivered from many of these things. So we need to be open to the chain-breaking work Jesus wants to do in us, transforming the ways we live and relate. And we need to be open to the chain-breaking work Jesus wants to do through us, changing the lives of others and the world around us. We do this because in Jesus' name and in Jesus' way, as the song says, all oppression shall cease. That's part of the work Mary talks about in her words we heard earlier from Luke chapter 2, and it's part of what this familiar hymn calls us to as well. O holy night, the night that changes everything, the night the thrill of hope literally enters into this weary world. So let's raise our grateful chorus. Let all within us praise His holy name. Let's find in Jesus rest in our weariness, hope in the midst of our despair, flesh and blood love in the midst of our fear and doubt and hate and division. Let's love one another as surely He taught us. Let's be people of love who live out the gospel of peace. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Amen.